welcome to another edition of the Blind Line program. Blind Line is the only international talk show exclusively for the blind and vision impaired on the internet. Today is Saturday the 18th of March. Really good to have you along. On the program in just a moment, we'll be speaking with David Costition of Synthavoice, the people that bring you Window Bridge. They've done something pretty radical. They've completely rewritten their program. It's now released as Window Bridge 2000, and we'll be finding out about what David considers to be some of the particularly meritorious features of Window Bridge 2000. After that, we'll be opening up the net meeting to take your calls, and we'll also talk a little bit more about some of the big changes that we've announced over the last couple of days to ACB Radio. Yes, we are on the expansion trail, and that's very exciting. Lots of changes coming up in April. But now, time to talk to David Costition of Synthavoice. I began by saying to David that really it did seem a rather radical thing to do, not just to upgrade Window Bridge, but to come out with a complete rewrite. I asked him why he's taken that approach.
Well, we noticed that there were some limitations in the off-screen model concept that we used in the original generation of Slimware Window Bridge, and we also wanted to design the program in preparation for products such as Millennium and other versions of Windows that will be coming down the road. So we felt the best approach, instead of trying to introduce new features and new approaches into the existing structure, that we would rewrite the program from the ground up, starting, and we spent several months mapping out exactly what we wanted to achieve and built that into the foundation of the product, and gave it more than enough growth potential with key combinations and code space and so on, so that when we go to add to the program now, it's not going to be like a house of cards where you always run the chance when you add new features to any product that you may fix something or add something and break something else. By designing this from the ground up the way we did, we have all of that structure in place.
One of the things that I noticed immediately was that you have used the caps lock key as a modifier, which is something I have not seen any other screen reader even give you the option to do.
No, that was just one of the things that we have, the, of course, the use of the insert key as a modifier, and your traditional modifiers, your control, alt, shift, window, and your application key. But we were looking to see if there was another key that we could also use in combination, and we tried experiments. Our original design also allowed for the tab key to be held down as a possible modifier, but we found that that could confuse some people. So by holding the caps key, you could and not releasing it, and then pressing a second key, it would not achieve a caps lock toggle. But it still is smart enough that if you tap the caps lock key, so it gets the code to go down and then back up, and no other keys were pressed, then it knows that you're toggling the status of caps lock. So it just gives one more level and dimension to the program, so that if you want to remap the keyboard, and we give a few samples even with the product, we use caps plus a space bar and caps plus escape and caps plus the numeric pad keys to achieve some functions to introduce the user to the concept. And the feedback we're getting has been very, very positive on that, because it's a simple key combination. People can find it easy and on the keyboard, and it's not a matter of holding multiple prefix keys.
That's interesting. You obviously had a bit of a mission to get this new product out with lots of new features and a new interface perhaps, but design it in such a way that your loyal Window Bridge users didn't throw up their hands in horror and say, my goodness, this is a completely new product and I don't like it.
Exactly, and that was part of the process, and that's why when we last spoke several months ago, our goal and prospective date for releasing the program was not achieved, because number one, we wanted to make sure the product was rock hard, solid as far as stability, and tested in as many environments as possible. So when you're testing a product that works in Windows 95, 98, NT4, Windows 2000, and Millennium, by the way, it's already prepared to run in that environment. And then running applications in all those environments and synthesizers and braille displays, the different combinations become mind-boggling after a while. So we wanted to test it, and yet we wanted to keep the consistency for our existing users so that they can make the transition. in the Slimmer Window Bridge product, for example, we use the Alt key in combination with the numeric pad keys to read current amounts of text without moving. What we did is we kept the structure the same. The numeric pad keys that are used are the same, but we just changed the prefix key to the caps key. Now the advantage is applications, such as some of the mail reading programs and whatever, that use Alt plus the arrows to, let's say, open the next message or whatever it may be, can now be done. You virtually are in a situation where you don't have to use a pass-through mode.
Take us through some of the new features, then, of Window Bridge 2000 that you're particularly proud of and that you think might make users of existing other screen readers think that it might be worth the purchase.
Well, one of the things that we're finding in the initial feedback is our new keyboard assistant. It's executed by caps lock plus a space bar, and essentially what it does is it will echo every key combination on the keyboard without executing the function. So if you wanted to teach yourself how the mouse is navigated on using numeric pad keys, for example, once you turn the keyboard assistant on and it told you the assistant was on, you would simply press any of the keys in the numeric pad and it will tell you what the function does. So now you can correlate which key you're pressing with the function and you get a real feel for it. In the past, you would have to look up a table in an appendix and start to take a look at what keys were assigned to what combinations and then try to memorize them. Now it's right there in front of you. It can be accessed at any time in any application, from the desktop, from within an application or whatever. But we went beyond that. If you went and assigned a Window Bridge macro to a key combination and then wanted to remember what that key combination did, once you're in the keyboard assistant and you press that key combination, it will read the macro description that is defined by the user. You could be up to 80 characters long or so, and it's a narrative feedback of what that key combination will do. So if you remap your keyboard, or you want to learn a new level of keys, or if you want to know where your macros are allocated, or any shortcut key on the keyboard, it's simply a matter of the quick execution of the keyboard assistant, press the key combination in question, and it's even good for new typists, people who have recently lost their vision, who don't have advanced typing skills. When you're in the keyboard assistant, as they press letters of the alphabet, it would echo the keys without executing the application. So it becomes a learning tool in that way as well.
I noticed that sometimes keys in Window Bridge have more than one function depending on how many times they're pressed or where they are, and that the keyboard mode is sensitive to that. So if you push a key twice or something like that, it will give you a different description. Is that?
Yes. What happens, let's say the caps plus the left arrow key is used to read the current character if it's pressed once. If you double click it, it will spell, or by giving you the phonetic equivalent of the character. So what happens when you go into the keyboard assistant, if you press the caps plus the left arrow, it will not only tell you that it is assigned to the read character command, but you'll hear a tone through your PC, which means that double clicking it will allow you to achieve a second command. Now you can, our keyboard manager allows you to assign the keys on the keyboard, so everything has its own dedicated key combination. But we found some users that said they like to double click on things just like you would a mouse to achieve a different function, so we built that into the product as well.
And the keyboard learner is sensitive to that double clicking, so it will give you a different description if you do double click it.
Exactly. So you could even assign something to a triple click if you want to. So that once you're in the keyboard assistant, you just triple click that key, and it will tell you the function by giving you the label name that's assigned to the triple click of that key.
Hmm. What about Window Bridge's support for commonly used applications? Do you have environments like the equivalent of a script file or a set file or something like that that you
Yes.
create for different applications?
Yes, we call them configuration files, and there's been a lot of changes there as well. We've increased the capabilities of many off-the-shelf programs for Internet Explorer and Word and Excel and so on, but We also have a nice new feature that when you go into an application program, if you'd like to know what enhancements we have done to that program, we have a command called Application Help. And you press that command, and it will give you an HTML file, the help file that will automatically read to you, and you can review with your mouse navigation keys, that will tell you exactly what macros we've designed, if we've moved any key combinations. It gives helpful hints on how to get started using that application. So it becomes an online tutorial that's right at your fingertips.
All right, so what does somebody press to get into that?
Shift plus control plus function key number one.
Okay, and so that will happen then if you're in an application and there's a window bridge configuration running, you can push that and it will load for you.
Yes, and it will automatically speak. And if there's not one available, there's no problem. It will simply bring up a dialog that says that a help screen is not available at this time for this application. And you just click on OK, and it collapses the dialog.
If somebody writes their own configuration file for an application that you haven't dealt with yet, is it possible to add functionality to that Shift plus Control plus F1?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
You can add your own help files as well. So it really does become a useful tool instead of having to reach for Braille notes or a cassette and play it back with notes on it or call up a file. It's there right at your fingertips. It comes with the program.
Now, of course, you mentioned Internet Explorer briefly there. Access to that has become incredibly competitive in the screen reading industry, and it's almost now the application by which many people judge the performance of a screen reader. The first thing they do is load IE. How about Window Bridge's access in that environment?
We've spent months in beefing up the design of the product, and because we have the ability that our product automatically senses the environment and loads the correct configuration files for it, the numeric pad gets transferred over to what we call HTML pad. So pressing dedicated keys on the numeric pad allow you to do such things as read the current frame, move back a frame, move forward a frame, move to the first link, list the links on the screen alphabetically, list the links that you've already visited, list just the new links that you haven't visited on the current page. All of it's executed with a single keystroke.
Have you guys taken the same approach as some of the other vendors where you have a web page loading into a sort of a buffer so that you can read from top to bottom as if it were a document in Word, for instance?
Yes, we have that ability. We actually capture everything in our off-screen model, and we, in the midst of capturing that file, we don't alter the physical screen presentation of what you see on your monitor, but when you have complex environments such as columns, newspaper columns, different windows and boxes, it's all presented in a natural order when it comes to navigating on the screen. So when I tell it to go down a line and I'm at the bottom of column one in a newspaper type column, it will automatically wrap the mouse pointer up to the beginning of the next column and begin to read there, and we can move left and right a column. So we are using MSAA and a lot of our own code to decipher the pages and match up icons and links and check boxes and so on with the appropriate text.
Yeah,
so
that
it makes reading much more natural.
That's a big challenge, of course, that there are some forms that you can go to on a web page which speak just fine, and generally because of where the vendor has placed the form field labels, there are some forms that just don't talk at all with many screen readers, so I guess you would have spent some time trying to make your product stand out in that regard.
Yes, we tried to spend as much time as we could, and it's an ongoing process because we'll visit Microsoft's homepage today and we'll see just how it's laid out, but we'll look at it later in the same day, and they've moved things. So you really have to design your web reading capabilities to be generic enough and have the artificial intelligence to decipher things instead of relying on fixed screen positions, because even though something may be a popular search engine or a popular web page, you really are limited if you tie into the philosophy of expecting things to be in certain places in relation to others, because a matter of hours later can change the whole scenario.
Yeah. And what about the speed of loading web pages? Is there a noticeable slowdown while Window Bridge deals with some complex web pages and decolumnizers and things like that?
No. What Window Bridge does is it is already reading the beginning of the page while it's still decoding the remainder of the page. So you don't have to wait for the entire page to be decoded and organized before you start getting reading. So once I go to a web page, the minute it starts grabbing information and it has a reasonable amount of information in there, and that really depends on the traffic on the web and so on, too, will definitely give different results. But it will start reading the beginning of the page, and it's still parsing things later on so that you don't have to wait. You could have, I've seen web pages where their index page could take a sighted person several minutes to load. And you may experience a lot of delays while it's doing that, but Window Bridge will automatically start reading the page, knowing that you're not going to be reading at 3,000 words per minute, and the rate that it's parsing and organizing information behind the scenes is quite rapid.
One of the things that can cause blind people considerable frustration is the set of common links that you find at the top of every web page, and you've got to try and traverse your way through those common links. Has Window Bridge come up with a way of dealing with those common links?
Yes, we in the way that our HTML pad is organized, you have many advanced navigation sorts of skills and capabilities that will allow you to get to that information. We have a list links command that will automatically give you an alphabetized list of all the links that it finds on the page, and then there are filters you can set within that feature. So you can tell it that I only want to see new links or visited links and so on, so it will organize it for you so that it cuts down your navigation time so that you can get to where you want to be very quickly.
And I guess another commonly used application by blind people these days is Microsoft Word, and it's also a quite competitive area, so maybe we could talk a little bit about Window Bridge's functionality in Microsoft Word.
Sure. Well, we've in the configuration files that come with the product that anybody can try, because they're all contained within our demo as well, we have the ability for the grammar checker and the spell checker, and if you have the feature turned on within Word, that will use a red squiggly line to automatically flag the user that they've possibly mistyped that word. We have configuration files that will automatically indicate verbally and in Braille to the user that this has been noted, and lets them know verbally what their options may be. We've labeled all the icons. One of the things that some people still prefer to use and like Window Bridge for this ability is we have the ability to just as you would do a previous next line command, in any application, you can use the numeric pad dash and plus keys to achieve what we call previous next icon. So navigating through toolbars, if you're using Visual Basic and so on, if you want to navigate through those toolbars and be able to click on those icons, it's all possible the way the Window Bridge was designed. So you skip right over the text and you can rapidly go through your toolbars. We also have, just like you would have the ability to list your links on a web page, within applications we have the ability to list your quick launch icons, the ability to list your SysTray icons and so on, and they all come up alphabetically as well, and you just navigate through the list, and your toolbar icons as well.
Well, that's important because, of course, that system tray has become more and more of a place where lots of things are hiding, and so you've got nice access to that.
Yes. Mm. The other thing that's nice is for laptop users, the new Window Bridge takes advantage of the structure of your keyboard so that a sighted person using a laptop computer that doesn't have a dedicated numeric pad can use what's often called the function key near the space bar in combination with the right-hand side QWERTY keys. Well, what we do is we use the caps lock key in combination with those letters to achieve the same functions as you would have set on a dedicated numeric pad. So now you can leave your hands right on the home row. You can use this on a desktop computer as well and do mouse navigation without ever taking your hands off the typing keys.
Okay, so that's always running, which means that you don't have to worry about turning on a laptop layout or something like that.
Exactly, but we do offer that option as well. We try to give the ultimate as far as diversification to the product so that, let's say, the numeric pad on its own does basic mouse navigation, previous, next line, word, character, read from your edge of the screen up to your mouse pointer or the mouse pointer to the end of the screen. So those are all dedicated keys, but we also offer the ability to use combinations of keys, let's say control plus up, down, left, right arrow on the numeric pad will move the mouse pointer up a word, down a word, left a word, right a word. Well, you may not want to get into more advanced key combinations if you're using this laptop pad feature. So right above your caps lock key, you have your tab key. So if you execute caps plus tab, it will lock the right-hand side QWERTY keys into mouse pad, thereby allowing you to hold just the control keys with those letters to execute advanced level navigation. And it's smart enough to disable itself automatically. You don't have to shut it back off to resume your normal work. The minute you go and type a letter of the alphabet or press a function key or click the mouse, it automatically disables the pad for you so you can continue working.
You were talking earlier about Microsoft Word and the ability you have to have the spelling checker and grammar checker automatic systems read to you. What sort of thing does it tell you? I suppose the trick is to try and make it tell the user something useful without actually being too intrusive.
Sure. What will happen, it will tell you the word and say maybe spelled incorrectly, and it will actually spell the word for you, and it places the mouse at the very beginning of your options list. So you can simply navigate up and down the list and click on the replacement word. So we don't want to go into a long narration of what has happened on your screen, but we do want to be concise and to the point and give the user useful information. So when you're using the spell checker, it may say, David, spelled D-A-V-V-I-D, and then it will read your first replacement option to you so that you can navigate and you don't have to worry about jumping your mouse to any location. It's right there automatically for you.
Tables in Word. Anything to report on that one?
I'm not an expert in tables in Word. You've actually caught me here on something that I don't have a lot of personal experience with. Tables in Word, I believe we tie in to some of the MSAA capabilities that are built into applications, and we do have the ability in Window Bridge to read up and down a column, and then it will allow you to move left or right a column, and when you do move left or right, it will tell you that you're in column 3 of 5, 4 of 5, so that you will have some sort of perspective on where you're located.
So these are a generic set of keys that will apply anywhere that one would see a table, I presume including
yes.
Internet Explorer, a web table.
Yes. That the thing that we tried to apply within the new Window Bridge design is to make the features that are available as applicable as possible to as many environments as possible. Otherwise, you would be having a key combination tied up that may only be used in one application. And if we can see in the situation of tables and charts that there are multiple environments where this would be useful, then we try to make that feature as generic as possible. But in the case where there may be the need to achieve a function that is very specific to that application, we can write a macro without having to go into a script sort of environment, and you don't have to program. Our ability to design macros follows the philosophy of WordPerfect 5.1 for DOS in many respects. It's a keyboard tape recorder that has extra functionality built into it. So if you want to record a macro, you would press the macro record command, and it would ask you for the key combination, and it would look to see if that key combination is already in use and give you a warning if it is. If it's not already in use, it would ask you to write a description for that, which I explained earlier becomes helpful when you're using our keyboard assistant. So you would write in a description such as read the icon in the top left corner of the screen. and then it would say, once you press enter, it would say recording. And you would hear a blip out of your keyboard letting you know that every one of the commands on the keyboard, whether it's a window bridge command or an application command or just the normal typing command or a navigation command, is recorded. When you finish, all you simply do is hit the macro recorder hotkey again, which is shift escape to turn the recorder on and off, and it will tell you that the macro has been completed. You can then open up a dialog box that will give you a list of the commands on individual lines, showing you exactly what is recorded, and it will show you the feature name that is written there. So it will say previous line, next word, and then below that, next word, so you can truly understand the way you're navigating within the macro. If you look and say, well, I forgot to do something here, you simply can press a hotkey that will allow you to insert a new command or delete a command or move the order in which the macro is played back. You can change the command playback order. So you can create macros without having to take a programming course first, which we felt was very important. But then we have a macro menu that you can pop up in the middle of recording that, for advanced type macros, will give users who really want to get into the guts of things, they can use conditional statements. There's, you can click on from the menu if and else and so on and finish, and you can do conditional macros and nest conditions within other conditions if you want to get to that level of complexity. But once again, you don't have to become a programmer to become familiar with that concept. It's thoroughly documented in the manual, and it's a matter of just point and shoot to the kinds of things you want to do.
Is the manual available as part of the product, or when you get the demo, is the manual there too, or do you download
the
demo?
Yeah. The minute you download the demo in the self-extracting file, once you install the program, it creates a directory within the WB2000 directory called manual, and all of the chapters are there in TXT format.
Okay. What about the DOS support that Window Bridge used to have? It used to work exceptionally well in DOS. Is that still there, or do you get that separately now?
No, it is included as well with the product. If you go to a DOS box, you can run our program called Slimware, which is the old first generation of screen reader product that we did, but it has all of the latest features incorporated into it. And what's nice is, if you're running Windows and you drop to a DOS box and you're using, let's say, Access 32 or a speech API engine, by typing Slimware, you still get speech through software speech, even though you're running DOS.
Right, that's impressive.
So that becomes a cost savings for many people who want to use Access 32 for whatever reason, or a speech engine. We include Microsoft Speech with Window Bridge, so essentially you have a turnkey solution the minute you purchase the product.
You were looking at one stage, weren't you, at including the port set speech with Window Bridge. Did that not happen?
Yes, port set speech doesn't run in its native mode. It runs as they now have hooked in the same way through speech API, and by changing voices, we have a command hotkey in the keyboard for previous next voice. You can cycle, if you have multiple speech engines installed, it will cycle through all of them when you hit previous next voice.
Right.
And we have reports back that we have users successfully using that already.
Now, one thing that people will want me to ask you is whether Window Bridge, and hardly any screen reader has done this, I think a couple have given access to the Control-Alt-Delete box.
Yes, we do. That keeps running. The minute you do Control-Alt-Delete shutdown, it will say, you know, shut down Windows, and it allows you navigation up and down the list box, whether you want to shut down, reset in MS-DOS mode, and so on.
Now, does that access work with software speech or only with hardware synthesizers?
At that point, Windows shuts down its resources. So software speech, Windows itself says, I'm shutting down the resources, and will kill that speech.
So you've got to have something like
a hardware synthesizer
in that
situation.
Right. But if you have a hardware synth, it will talk it for you.
Yes. And that's one of the other things that we did in the new design is, in addition to supporting serial speech devices, especially in Windows NT and 2000, we've added, well, it works in all versions of Windows, but we've added support for a number of the most popular internal hardware cards that people may still have. You can run it as an SSIL device, of course. That's supported as an option with Window Bridge, but we can also communicate directly to give even faster responsiveness. And we support the DeckTalk PC, the Keynotes voice card, the Keynotes PC, the DoubleTalk internal synthesizer. So the common ones that people have used because of using DOS and earlier generations of Windows in the past, they don't have to discard that device. We still support them, in addition to a large range of serial devices.
I noticed that when I installed the demo that I downloaded from your website, it immediately decided to pick on DeckTalk XS32, which is fine, and it started speaking away there. I have a sickening number of software speech synthesizers and things on this system for obvious reasons to try things out. How does Window Bridge make a judgment about what it's using, and are all the drivers available even if you don't have the speech installed, or if you add a synth, do you have to install support for that synth later?
Oh, that's a good question. What happens is, with the demo of Window Bridge, you will get XS32 in demo format, so that you will automatically have speech without having to do extra installations on your own in order to evaluate the product. However, when you first load Window Bridge for the first time, what happens is we bring you on the desktop. Your focus is within a welcome dialog box that comes up, and it says, "Welcome to Window Bridge. Please select from the appropriate options and press enter," and there's a series of buttons that you tab through, and the first one is set speech or braille devices. So all you do is press enter, and it brings up a subsequent dialog box that gives you a list of the supported braille displays, and you just cursor up and down to the one you want or leave it set to no braille device. Tab once, and it'll say you're in a list box for synthesizers, and it's an alphabetized list of all the supported speech, and you cursor up and down, and it's a point-and-shoot sort of thing, and then just tab to OK and press enter, and then it will ask you, do you wish this to be your default speech? And you have a yes and no selection there, and then it will begin to speak through that device. Now, once you have Window Bridge installed once, which takes under a minute to install, but you probably notice that, how fast it does install with full speech feedback. At any time, you could change devices without having to ever reinstall anything. All you have to do is, in our control panel, in the mode menu, sorry, in the tools menu, there is an option called devices. You just click on that, and it brings up that same dialog that lists your braille displays and your braille devices, your braille displays and your synthesizers, and it's just point and shoot. You can change devices on the fly at any time without reinstalling.
Okay. What about the whole copy protection issue? How is this version of Window Bridge protected?
It's protected differently. It's a protection algorithm that we wrote. However, it's totally guarded. There's no way that it can be erased by accident. I can't go into details, but for instance, running a virus checker, Norton, doesn't matter. You could virtually delete your Window Bridge 2000 directory, and you will not lose an installation fingerprint. It's still on your system. And you could run ScanDisk. You can run any antivirus program on it. It's not sector-related, and it's all there. So the chance of you losing an installation is almost impossible now.
So you can defrag as well?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And how many installations do you get with
you get three with each version of Window Bridge. So you will have, if you buy Window Bridge for Windows 95, 98, Millennium, you will get a master disk containing three installs. Now, if you buy the NT2000 version, you get a master disk that has three installs. So, in a sense, if you buy the suite, you have six installations on two different disks. So even if you damage your disk, you're backed up.
As I understand it, the one product is capable of supporting all of these operating systems, and that the NT support is actually enabled by a different fingerprint. Is that how it works?
That's correct.
So
what happens
is
in our control panel, when you install the product, it's installed for that version of Windows. And then you go into our control panel, and there is, in the help menu, there is an option for licensing. You click on that, and it will ask you then to insert your master disk, and it will then ask you whether you want to install a license or remove a license. And you just click on the button that is most appropriate. It will tell you at any given time how many installations are remaining on the master disk and whether you have already installed the license on this version. If you've already installed a license on your hard drive, installing it again doesn't take up another fingerprint. It's smart enough to say, no, this is already installed, and leaves the status as is. And whatever version of Windows you do not have a license for, the same version of Window Bridge will run as a demo. It will only become licensed for the versions that you purchased.
Let's say I'm the kind of person that does a lot of technical support on different computers. Is it possible to just insert the floppy and have Window Bridge recognize that I've got the floppy in the A drive and function normally?
Yes, you can use the master disk as your fingerprint disk.
So you don't have to actually
You have to install the program, however.
Okay.
Because there are registry entries and so on. There are DLLs that are installed. You have to make sure it's not possible to have all the necessary files for Window Bridge contained on one floppy.
Did you discuss whether this was worth persisting with? Because you must be aware that there is incredible bad feeling in the blind community about these schemes, not just from Window Bridge, of course, but from any vendor who puts them in.
Yes, we did, and that's why we wrote the algorithms the way we did, because we had our beta testers testing in some situations where you just can't erase the fingerprint accidentally. You would virtually have to have your whole hard disk crash and not recoverable, or you would have to not only delete Window Bridge, but Windows itself. That's the only way that you would lose a fingerprint.
Okay, that's interesting.
I can't go into more detail, obviously, but it's that safe to use that you will not find. We tried for months to blow it up here, and to have scenarios arise where people would accidentally lose things, because in the old fingerprint algorithm days, if you did think that you may have installed the product incorrectly, and instead of uninstalling it first, as you're told to, obviously, in the documentation, but a lot of people don't bother, they would just delete their directories and start again and say, well, wait a minute, it's not licensed anymore. Or you would have people that would run some very aggressive versions of Norton or whatever that will find fingerprint-type files from different applications that use this approach, and these virus checkers eradicate the file, thinking that it's possibly a source of a virus. That's not possible now with the new Window Bridge.
If somebody needs more than three installations, do you have the facility to offer them more?
Yes, we do. It can be done over the phone, and it will take approximately a minute to do, or they can order it that way. With additional installations. And of course, there are site licenses, and you can install in the network and run it from different workstations. It will even tell you, let's say you have a site license, you install in the network for five users, and you go to log in, it will tell you how many users are currently logged in using Window Bridge, and how many new users can be added. It gives you statistics.
And presumably it's nice and smart so that it will save user preferences based on the user that's logged in.
Yes, because that gets set on your workstation.
Okay. Hmm. You, when we last spoke, you were talking about a pretty interesting competitive upgrade scheme for users of existing screen readers. Is that in operation now?
Yes, that's all on our webpage, but yes, we are offering anyone who wishes to trade in their existing screen reader, they can buy Window Bridge for half price.
What's the process for trading a screen reader in?
We would just need your old master disk from your old product.
Okay.
As proof that you did have that product. And you get the full package from us. It's not just an OEM version or anything else. You would get, when you trade in the program, you get the packaging, which includes the CD, the master disks, and the cassettes. Tutorials.
Okay, you have tutorials that come with the package as well?
Yes. That's all part of the standard package.
And what is the standard price of Window Bridge?
$795 US for either version. Now, the one version is for 95, 98, and Millennium, and the other is for Windows NT4 and 2000. So it's $795 for either, but if you want what we call the Window Bridge Suite, which covers all versions of Windows, it's $1,195.
Okay, and that gives you access to pretty much everything.
Yes.
Yeah. And you've got the Slimware DOS product thrown in there, which will work with software speech.
Yes.
Mm. Is there anything else that that we haven't... I was going to ask you about email clients, because obviously many of us do a lot of email. Your support that you've introduced for Internet Explorer, does that also apply when reading an HTML message in an email client, for instance?
Yes. Yes. So if you're using Outlook Express, for example, our HTML navigation allows you now to start reading and navigating without having to use the old workaround in some screen readers, including ours, was to hit the reply button and then you would get a cursor and then you could read. But with our HTML capabilities, we now can read without having to follow that extra step.
Do you offer specific support for Eudora, or does that work pretty well out of the box without a configuration file?
It pretty much runs on its own. We did add configurations for it to label some icons and window classes and so on. And I believe we're working on a few others here right now in technical support. It's an ongoing process. People should understand that we will constantly, on a full-time basis, be building and adding more robustness to the configurations and adding configurations for more applications. Anyone who's interested in having configurations designed for a certain application simply just needs to drop us an email message with their request, and we'll get to work on it. And, of course, all our configuration files, as they become available, will be packed into the latest version for download. And if we're in between version releases, we will make them as separate download available from our webpage, and there's no cost for any of that.
A lot of the people who listen to this program are obviously interested in audio on the PC, and in particular, when I do interviews of this kind, where we're talking to a screen reader manufacturer about a new product, I get a lot of inquiries about Cakewalk. Is this something Window Bridge has had a look at?
Yes, we include configurations already with the demo. Anybody who's using the latest version, Cakewalk 9, will see that there are sample configurations already built in.
And you've developed those, I presume, in consultation with blind musicians?
Yes, yes. We've got a number of users that were using Slimware Window Bridge, and they had a list of a few additional capabilities that they had in mind, and we've kept those. Every time that someone writes an email message to us, it goes into a database here, a tracking database, so that when it comes time to release a new version, the priorities for our new versions and the time that's spent on any bug corrections, as well as new feature enhancements or new features altogether or configurations, are driven by user feedback. So we don't sit here thinking that we have the answers and that we're just simply going to provide you with what we think you should have. We're very interactive with our users on our WinBridge list. I monitor it daily myself so that I can take the information that comes in from users and put it right into our computer system on the network here, and it goes as topics of discussion for our production meetings and design meetings. And So these things are woven into the next generation of releases of the product.
What sort of feedback are you getting from users of the new Window Bridge 2000 so far?
Very positive. There was a few users that were shocked, as you mentioned earlier in our discussion here, of the use of the caps key, and they chuckled over it because they said they still had a tendency to use Alt plus the arrows to read current amounts of text, but then they realized that they had to use pass-through to use those to the application. But now that it's an individual command, that was the largest area of transition, and they found that after a day or two that became quite smooth. But the feedback has been that the off-screen model is very, very accurate. It's fast, and they're getting much more information, especially on the web, that they didn't get before. The need to refresh the off-screen model is, we've only had one or two instances where people have had to do it at all. And so we're quite excited because we knew that that's where we have to spend the time. You have to build a proper foundation and make the product rock solid and logical and easy to use and flexible enough that if people want to make a change and move a key combination from one location to another, that they can do without having to become a programmer first. And that's where we set our priorities.
Just before we wrap up with contact information, is there anything else that we haven't covered that you want to trumpet about in the new release?
Well, geez, there's so much in the new release. There, on top of what Window Bridge was already capable of, there are over 100 new capabilities. Some are intuitive and don't even require keystroke intervention by the user. Others are additional flexibility capabilities, our keyboard manager and how it now allows you to remap any key combination to anything you could dream of. The ability to swap devices on the fly is going over very, very well with the users that have made the transition already. And just the way that the control panel works, one thing that is rather intriguing about our control panel, instead of overwhelming you with every option, when you first load the product in demo mode and you open our control panel with the caps lock plus the enter key, you're told that you have your control panel set to beginner level. And that focuses your attention on getting you access to the most common initial type features that you would want to access. For example, the ability to adjust the pitch, rate, and volume of the voice, or change devices, these types of things. But there is a menu entry that allows you to set the user level for the control panel. You could set it to beginner, intermediate, or advanced. And each level you set it to will give you access to more options in the control panel. So if you don't want to be bogged down and overwhelmed by advanced type features like macro capabilities, macro recorders and editors and so on, then you can set the control panel back to an intermediate level and those options don't appear. So it gives the user quicker access. And of course, it's just a keystroke to change your level at any time. You can move forward or backwards. And it will lock into that level. You don't have to save anything. It's placed into an INI file that when the program is initialized, that's the level you'll have access to, and you can change it to suit your personal needs at any time. The other thing is we do have a very active WinBridge discussion list that I would encourage anyone to join who would like to just monitor and to see what the feedback is like themselves or to ask questions. As I said, I'm there answering questions on a full-time basis as part of my job description here to address. So you're going to get the ear of somebody who's going to listen to what your concerns are or your suggestions for new ideas, which is all great to us. If you want to join our list, you just send a message to listserv@syntavoice.on/nancy.ca, and simply in the body of the message, subscribe space WinBridge as one word, WinBridge. Send the message, and of course you can leave at any time by the same method and just writing unsubscribe or sign off space WinBridge, and you'd be removed from the list automatically. But you can write to me directly at help@syntavoice.on.ca if you have questions that you didn't want to have put on the list. We're actively pursuing the expansion of our dealer network, and we're very interested to hear from new dealers that are interested in carrying our product. Even if they're carrying other screen reading programs, we think that's great. It offers the end user a variety of choice, and we don't believe in trying to ram the product down people's throats, so we're going to try to be as open as we can with the marketing of the product and letting people know what its expectations and limitations are, and we hope that people will look at this product, because it is brand new, as a brand new product as far as being written from the ground up, but it also has the advantage of having 9 years or so of experience of writing Windows applications behind it. As we started in this whole area in 1992 as the first Windows screen reader, so we've gained a lot of experience along the way, and I think that's what's reflected in the new product.
And as we've mentioned a couple of times, a demo is available. What are the limitations of that demo?
The demo is fully functional. It will run for 40 minutes. When you hit the 35-minute mark, you will be told that you get a 5-minute warning that the demo will expire in 5 minutes, and at the end of the time, you'll get a message that the demo has expired and Braille and speech transmission will be terminated. However, it doesn't lock your system. You're still fully functional. And all you have to do is wait 5 minutes, and you can reload the demo again from the desktop.
Oh, so you don't even need to reboot?
No.
Okay. And what's the webpage for people to get a hold of this demo and download it and have a play?
Okay. The webpage is http://www.synthavoice, spelled S-Y-N-T-H-A-V-O-I-C-E, .O-N, as in Nancy, .ca. And right on the page is very easy to read with large print or with a screen reader, and you click on the files link, and right there you will see a link that says send me the WindowBridge 1.11 demo, and you click there, and it's about a 4 meg download if anybody's interested.
That's excellent. Well, it's great of you to come on the program once again, and congratulations on this release. I'm sure there'll be a number of people who'll be whisking themselves off to the website now to take a look.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you as always, and keep everybody up to date with what's happening here, and we're looking forward to hearing from people and seeing what their feedback is and the constructive criticisms, because our end goal here is to come up with the best product and keep doing so that we can, and to mold it to what people's individual needs are.